information, end quote. When the Times Union calls Stefanik advisor and campaign spokesperson Alex DeGrassi to ask if Manda's work influences Stefanik's position on gun rights, DeGrassi called the reporter, and I quote, a very sick person, end quote. He then sent an email calling the Times Union, and I quote, sexist, end quote. Stefanik was a strong ally of the gun industry before her husband went to work for the NSSF, and she has an A-plus rating from the National Rifle Association. Stefanik and Manda met in 2012 and were married in 2017. At the time, Manda was the marketing and communications director for the Virginia-based Media Group of America, which runs the conservative news website, The Independent Journal Review. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Andrew Waite reports for the Daily Gazette that Republican Representative Elise Stefanik made a rare appearance at a press conference about milk in Albany May 31st. It was the first time Stefanik faced reporters since 19 children and two adults were murdered at an elementary school in Texas. Stefanik said, and I quote, I do not support gun control, but there is work that we need to do, and that is increasing mental health funding. We need to increase school resource officers and make sure that we're working with our county sheriffs to protect our schools that are most vulnerable, end quote. Matt Castelli, who is one of the two Democrats seeking the House's North Country seat, pointed out Stefanik was not addressing her constituents, which will not include all Rensselaer County residents because of redistricting. Castelli said, and I quote, she's not in her district. She's in Albany talking about something that is not related to the job of representing the 21st Congressional District. There should be no more compelling issue facing our country right now than addressing the insecurity that our parents and our kids and our teachers are facing with this threat of gun violence in our schools, end quote. Stefanik did say she supported the Fix NICS Act, which strengthened the federal background check system, the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. But Castelli pointed out that Stefanik voted against reauthorizing the Violence Against Women Act. Castelli said, and I quote, I would just like to highlight that she has been in Congress for nearly 8 years and hasn't been able to solve this problem. It's not surprising to hear Congresswoman Stefanik's remarks. She's got a pattern of behavior where every one of her actions is about service to herself. In this instance, it's about putting the needs of her special interest donors and her gun-advocating husband above the lives of our kids and the safety of our communities, end quote. Last week, the Times Union reported that Stefanik's husband, Matthew Manda, manages the public affairs for the National Shooting Sports Foundation based in Newton, Connecticut. Read more about this story in the Daily Gazette. Paul Kirby compares in the Daily Freeman the position on guns of the two candidates for special election in August to pick a congressperson for New York's current 19th congressional district. Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan, a Democrat, wants to bring back the ban on assault rifles and institute universal background checks on gun purchases. Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro, a Republican, did not list any specific legislation he would back to address the problem. Ryan said, and I quote, we must also institute universal background checks, ban bump stocks and high-capacity magazines, prevent straw purchases, close gun show loopholes, and institute red flag laws and no-buy lists for domestic abusers and suspected terrorists. End quote. He added, and I quote, Americans universally support these measures, and they deserve representatives with the backbone to take on the gun lobby and deliver actual results, end quote. Molinaro did not use the word gun in his response to the murder of 19 children and two adults at the elementary school in Texas. He said, and I quote, it is imperative we attack the root of the problem here, reducing isolation, and fighting hatred by building a community of inclusion. It's what we've done in Dutchess County for a decade, end quote. The Just the Facts website reports that Molinaro in 2018 had a 92% rating from the National Rifle Association. In 2018, Molinaro had a 100% rating from the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, and New Yorkers Against Gun Violence gave Molinaro an F rating in 2008. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan allowed so-called, and I quote, school resource officers, end quote, in the Roundout and Onte Ora school districts and at Ulster County BOCES last week after the murder of 19 children and two adults at a Texas school. The Ulster County legislature voted 19-4 for the security guards at the schools at its May 17th meeting before the Texas shooting. After the shooting, Ryan returned the resolutions unsigned. Doxey wrote, and I quote, a move that is generally used to allow a resolution to go into effect while signaling disapproval of the measure, end quote. Ryan put out his statement on the issue May 27th. He said, and I quote, as a parent, I feel very strongly that we need to do everything that we can to keep our kids safe in school. I also feel strongly that decisions about what happens in schools should be made by parents, teachers, and school boards. That is why I have consistently returned these resolutions unsigned, empowering our school districts to make these decisions, end quote. BOCES will pay the county $53,241.58 for a part-time security guard from July 1st through June 30th, 2023. The Onte Ora and Roundout school districts will each pay the county $111,054.66 for security guards in each of those districts between September 1st, 2022 and June 30th, 2023. The no votes against the security guard in schools were from Legislature Chair Tracy Bartell and non-enrolled voter from Gardner, who aligns with Democrats, and Democrats Philip Erner, Abe Uccitelli, and Eve Walter. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC, Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Oh, Helios. Oh, yellow star, oh, glowing sphere, gleaming beacon, brilliant flaming orb, giver of light, warmth, and radio. Yes, it's true. WGXC's brand new solar panels are installed and ready for deployment, where they'll be calling on the free and plentiful rays of the sun to bring our station close to full sustainability.
To make WGXC a solar-powered radio station.
We are going solar, and WGXC will be a solar-powered community radio station, getting our power from the sun rather than foreign despots.
WGXC loves the sun, and we're going to love it even more now that WGXC is going solar.
I'm so much older now.
Thank you. To move. I'm so much older now. Give me peace, give me peace. Float it up over and out so you can sleep and I can see. I know if you could, you would do it. A lifetime of love to prove. But I would never hold you to it. Everyone has the right to move.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, youth radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Georgia, I'm 11, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fahia, and I'm 8 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And I'm Emily, I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love.
Books we hate.
And bookish things. And that's what we'll do today. Again.
What are everyone's books today?
I can share one that's a bit of a mystery for me. The book itself is not a mystery. Well, no, the book is a mystery. It's not a mystery story.
Oh, man.
It's a graphic novel, middle grade graphic novel, and it's coming out later this month. I read it quite a while ago, so I'm going to read the description because my memory of it is not as clear as it was when I first read it. But I really liked it a lot. It's called Cat's Cradle, The Golden Twine by Joe Roux, which is R-I-O-U-X. And the mystery part is that it's coming out later this month, but there is an edition of it that is already out. But all the writing of it refers to it as a debut. So I haven't been able to figure out what the story is, but my best guess is that it was initially released by a different publisher back in, like, I think it was 2012 or 13, and that it was a one-off story at that point, because I haven't seen signs of a sequel out in the world. And so my best guess is that this other publisher decided to pick it up as a trilogy and continue the story, and so that they're reissuing the first book. What I don't know for sure is how different the editions are. Like, I looked at a sort of preview of the original edition, and the artwork looks slightly different. So I wonder if she has worked on the artwork a little bit to change it up, but I'd have to see the finished products, like, side by side to know for sure. But either way, at least the one that I read, which is the one coming out later this month, is very good. And here's the description. Jo Roux makes her debut as a writer-illustrator in this fantasy-adventure graphic novel trilogy. Suri loves monsters, studying their lore, telling stories about them for a fee, and, she hopes, one day taming them. Unfortunately, no one takes an orphan street urchin who travels with the merchant camp very seriously. But Suri's self-confidence, cleverness, and ambition serve her well when a mysterious new wagon joins her camp, holding something very big, very loud, and very monstrous. And that's before Suri runs afoul of a treacherous family with its own beastly secret, and a prince hunting the greatest monster of all. And I thought this was very fun. I think it's different than a lot of graphic novels that I've been reading recently, which have been more contemporary fiction. Although some of them have a little fantastical element, this one felt more like historical fantasy. You know, it's set back in the day. I like the traveling circus or traveling merchant camp aspect and all of the individual characters that she's friended on that route. Yeah, so I thought it was a really good start to a trilogy, which is what made it interesting when I was looking it up today when I found this older edition, because I thought it was this new trilogy launching. But that's why my best guess is that the trilogy part is new, and so that the first book is a reissue or a reimagining, possibly, or a redo of the first book. But yeah, getting that for our library. I hope people will check it out, and I look forward to reading the second one whenever that comes out. But so that's the series is Cat's Cradle, and the first book is The Golden Twine.
That sounds like a great book. I'm very excited to read that.
Yeah, I think you would like it. As we've talked about many times on the show, there's so many great middle grade graphic novels, and this is adding one to the pot, you know?
Woohoo!
But I did appreciate the sort of feel and pace of this one. Just felt a little different. And I like the main character. Suri's pretty cool.
About how long is this graphic novel?
It's pretty short, actually. Well, the new edition is 128 pages. The original edition was 112 pages.
Those are short. Most graphic novels I read are like 320 or so.
Yeah, it is pretty short. But I guess it's gearing up for a continuation. So Fatia, do you have a poem to share this week or a book to share? I know you've been enjoying your poetry lately.
I have a poem that I want to share. The poem is Good Things.
Who's it by?
I think it's by Barbara Vince.
Are you going to read it to us?
Yeah. I once heard an old man say, sapping wise out of clay into a subtle form sublime. Listen, son, good things take time. All my life I thought of this when I task was lacking bliss. When the work seemed awful, though, and I thought I had enough. So I give a little more to what sometimes seems a chore, and you know without a doubt, good things always came about. The reason why I love this poem is because there's like a lot of rhyming words, and it's also because of the title Good Things, and I really like that title's name because it just makes my mind so fresh whenever I read it.
I loved that poem. It was very, like, I love that message. Good things do really take time. Mm-hmm. That is very true. And that is just very true in life. Good things do take time. So, yeah, I really love that poem, Fatia. And you read it so well. Like, just with such heart and presence, you know, it just really draws you in.
Thank you, Georgia.
Yeah, I agree. I love hearing poems. I look forward to hearing poems every week, but no pressure. If you ever have something else you want to talk about, that's fine too. But I do love hearing the poems from you. Georgia, do you have a book to share?
Oh, right. I forgot that I haven't gone yet. Yes, I do. I have a book called All Summer Long. Sorry. Okay, let me try that again. I have a book today. It's a middle grade. Oh my gosh. Sorry, I can't speak right now. I have a book today that I got from a library. And it's called All Summer Long, and it's by Hope Larson. It's a middle grade graphic novel, and it's a really great book. It's also a short one. It's about 170 pages long, sort of the standard for a graphic novel, but I consider that short because I like reading like 400 page ones. Yeah, the longer the better, in my opinion, for graphic novels. So this is a really good book, and it's a coming-of-age sort of book. It's about this girl who's, like, sort of growing apart from her best friend and sort of focuses around that. Her best friend feels too grown up to do all the things that they used to do, and it's just she's realizing that she's getting older, and but she like misses the things, and she and her best friend are sort of growing apart. So I'll read the description. One summer can change everything. 13-year-old Bina has a long summer ahead of her. She and her best friend Austin usually do everything together, but he's off to soccer camp for a month, and he's been acting kind of weird lately. Anyway, so it's up to Bina to see how much fun she can have on her own. At first, it's a lot of boredom, bad TV, and guitar practice. Things look up when Bina finds an unlikely companion in Austin's older sister, Charlie. They like the same music, and Charlie actually seems to think Bina is cool. But then Austin comes home from camp acting even weirder than when he left. Can Bina and Austin get back to the way things used to be, or does growing up mean growing apart? Touching and dynamic, All Summer Long is a celebration of friendship, family, and marching to your own rhythm from Eisner Award-winning author Hope Larson. So this is a really good book, and I'd recommend it. So that was All Summer Long by Hope Larson.
I'm surprised. I was looking up Hope Larson, and I don't know if I've ever read anything by her. She's written so many comics that I know we have here, but haven't read her yet. So maybe I'll have to read that one. Do you know there's a sequel?
Yeah, there is?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
It's called All Together Now.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Oh, and there's a third book that came out in January, All My Friends. What? So if you like the first one.
Are there
one,
any more?
Those are the three that I see, so I don't know. Does it say? It's a trilogy, so there's three, and they're all out.
Oh. Can they make it a quality?
I guess she could if she can find a publisher and wants to do it. But she has a lot of other books. She has the Goldie Vance books. There's Compass South is the first book in a series called Four Points. I think that one's fairly new, so I don't know if there's a second one yet.
Oh, I've read a little bit of Goldie Vance. I didn't know she did those. I recognize that title at least. And I have read some on ebook.
She's also done some Batgirl comics and Salt Magic, I know we have, and I think Chiggers as well, which I believe is set at a camp. So yeah, sounds like a good book. Oh, and she did the adaptation of A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh yeah, I saw that on the back. Looks
which
interesting.
I've thought about reading that because I've already read Wrinkle in Time probably a couple times in my life. So I thought that might be a nice way to reread it without rereading it.
I've only watched A Wrinkle in Time as a movie, which I know is a crime. To do it before reading.
Total crime.
I did it anyways. I'm sorry. You can arrest me.
I'm going to give you a librarian ticket. I'm just kidding. Librarians like movies too.
Are you taking away my permission from the Hudson Library?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No!
Your permission to say that you always watch the movie after the book. That's the permission you lose. You can't say that anymore. I mean, you can, but it's a lie.
Oh, Emily. Mm-hmm. Guess who found her library card? Me. So now I have two library cards. I have my Hudson library card and my Lenox library card, which works through all Berkshire County Library.
Mm-hmm.
So that one is like having a one for to every single library in my area, which is great.
The Hudson area library one works that way too.
Really?
Yep. If you have a Hudson area library card, it works at every library in the Mid-Hudson Library System, which is all of Columbia,
yeah, like
Green,
Clover.
But also Dutchess, Ulster, and Putnam counties too. And you can get eBooks from the Upper Hudson Library System as well, because we have a partnership with them.
What's the difference between Upper Hudson and Mid-Hudson.
The Mid-Hudson Library System are those counties that I mentioned. And then the Upper Hudson, I don't remember all of the counties, but it's like Rensselaer and, you know, more a capital region.
I feel like, I mean, I know that Albany should get its time to shine, but would make more sense if New York City was the capital. Because when, like, people from other countries, at least, when they think of New York, they think of New York City. Like, and actually a lot of people from, like, other countries, I've, like, said, like, they've asked me where I'm from because I recognize that I is not from there. And I said, I'm from the U.S. And then they're like, ooh, do you live in New York City? I was like, no, I live a little bit outside it. But I feel like New York should sort of be the capital of the whole country because, I mean, it's very, like, it's very popular. You know, a lot of people know about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I feel like also Albany and other places should get time to shine, you know?
Yeah, I think of it kind of as, like, Albany is our, like, government center. Like, that's the capital for the political, governmental world. And then New York City is, like, the cultural capital. Don't tell Albany I said that, though. But that's how I see it.
That's really funny. I guess I definitely agree with that. I like that way of looking at it. It's also very true.
With the little time we have left, I thought I could highlight some books that we have coming out this month that I thought people might be interested in. So I will start with a middle grade book. It's the first book in at least a duology. Is that how you say it? There's at least another book coming out.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's only two or if there's more planned. But this is the first one, and it comes out on June 7th. And the series is the Sinister Summer series. And the first book is Wretched Water Park, and it's by Kirsten White. And here's the description for that. Meet the sinister Winterbottoms. That's like a hyphenated name. Brave Theo, her timid twin Alexander, and their older sister Will. They're stuck for the summer with their aunt Sophronia, who doesn't know how often children need to eat and can't use a smartphone, and whose feet never quite seem to touch the floor when she glides or walks. When Aunt Sophronia suggests a week pass to the Fathoms of Fun water park, they hastily agree. But the park is even stranger than Aunt Sophronia. It's a really hard name to say. The water slides look like gray gargoyle tongues. The employees wear creepy black dresses and deliver ominous messages. An impossible figure is at the top of the slide tower. People are disappearing, and suspicious goo is seeping into the wave pool. Something mysterious is happening at Fathoms of Fun, and it's up to the twins to get to the bottom of it. The mystery, that is, not the wave pool. Definitely not the wave pool. But are Theo and Alexander out of their depth? You like that little pun there? Little bottom of the wave pool pun?
I loved that. I loved that pun.
I think this sounds like a really cute book. It kind of has a, reminds me of like the series of unfortunate events, the Lemony Snicket books, like that kind of funny, but morbid.
Yeah, remind me of that. I'm watching the series, but haven't read the books. I know.
I'm going to have to give you another ticket.
Yeah, please forgive me.
We'll see. We'll see if we can spare you. So a second book that I thought I would share is a nonfiction book for kids called The Wonders We Seek, 30 Incredible Muslims Who Helped Shape the World. And so this is a biographical collection. So it has portraits and illustrations alongside written portraits of talented Muslim physicians, musicians, athletes, poets, and more who helped make the world we know today. So here's the description for that one. A brilliant surgeon heals patients in the first millennium. A female king rules the Indian subcontinent. A poet pours his joy and grief into the world's best-selling verses. An iconic leader fights for civil rights. And many, many more. Throughout history, from the golden age of the empires of Arabia, Iraq, Persia, and India up to modern day, Muslims have shaped our world in essential ways, with achievements in music, medicine, politics, human rights, literature, sports, technology, and more. Give this book to readers who are excited to learn about the great figures and thinkers in history. I love these kind of books where they have sort of shorter, like instead of a whole biography on one person, it's short.